The Dark Night of the Soul by St. John of the Cross, read by Peter Wickham for Naxos Audiobooks. Other innumerable benefits beside these flow from this arid contemplation, for in the midst of these aridities and hardship, God communicates to the soul, when it least expects it, spiritual sweetness, most pure love, and spiritual knowledge of the most exalted kind, of greater worth and profit than any of which it had previous experience. From The Dark Night of the Soul. The Dark Night of the Soul, with an explanation of the stanzas comprising the way of the perfect union of love with God, such as is possible in this life, and the admirable endowments of the soul which has attained to it. Argument. The stanzas to be explained are set forth at the beginning of this book, then an explanation of each severally, the stanza being placed before it. After that, an explanation of each line, which is also set before the explanation. The first two stanzas explain the two spiritual purgations of the sensual and spiritual part of man, and the other six, the various and admirable effects of the spiritual enlightenment and union of love with God. Stanzas. 1. In a dark night, with anxious love inflamed, O happy lot, forth unobserved I went, my house being now at rest. 2. In darkness and in safety, by the secret ladder, disguised, O happy lot, in darkness and concealment, my house being now at rest. 3. In that happy night, in secret, seen of none, seeing naught myself, without other light or guide, save that which in my heart was burning. 4. That light guided me, more surely than the noonday sun, to the place where he was waiting for me, whom I knew well, and where none appeared. 5. O guiding night, O night more lovely than the dawn, O night that hast united the lover with his beloved, and changed her into her love. 6. On my flowery bosom, kept whole for him alone, there he reposed and slept, and I cherished him, and the waving of the cedars fanned him. 7. As his hair floated in the breeze that from the turret blew, he struck me on the neck with his gentle hand, and all sensation left me. 8. I continued in oblivion lost, my head was resting on my love, lost to all things and myself, and amid the lilies forgotten, threw all my cares away. Explanation of the stanzas. Before we enter on an explanation of these, it is right we should understand that they are the words of the soul already in the state of perfection, which is the union of love with God, when it has gone through the straits, tribulations, and severities, by means of the spiritual training, of the straight way of everlasting life, by which ordinarily the soul attains to this high and divine union with God. Of it, our Saviour says in the Gospel, "How narrow is the gate, and straight is the way that leadeth to life, and few there are that find it." This road being so straight, and they who find it being so few, the soul regards it as a great and joyful blessing that it has journeyed on it to the perfection of love, as it sings in the first stanza, very rightly calling the straight road a dark night, as may be seen further on in the words of the stanza. The soul, therefore, rejoicing in that it has travelled on this straight road whereby so great a blessing has come to it, sings as follows. Book One of The Night of Sense. In a dark night, with anxious love inflamed, oh, happy lot, forth unobserved I went, my house being now at rest. In the first stanza, the soul sings of the way and manner of its going forth, as to its affections, from self and all created things, dying thereto by real mortification, that it may live the life of love, sweet and delicious, in God. It went forth from itself and from all things in a dark night, by which is meant here purgative contemplation, as I shall hereinafter explain, which causes in the soul passive denial of self and of all besides. This departure, it says, it was able to accomplish in the strength and fervour which the love of the bridegroom supplied in the obscure contemplation for that end. The soul magnifies its own happiness in having journeyed Godwards in that night so successfully as to escape all hindrance on the part of its three enemies, the world, the devil, and the flesh, which are always found infesting this road. For the night of purgative contemplation had lulled to sleep and mortified in the house of sensuality all passions and desires in their rebellious movements. Chapter 1 begins with the first stanza and treats of the imperfections of beginners. Souls begin to enter the dark night when God is drawing them out of the state of beginners, which is that of those who meditate on the spiritual road, and is leading them into that of proficients, the state of contemplatives, that having passed through it, they may arrive at the state of the perfect, which is that of the divine union with God. That we may the better understand and explain the nature of this night through which the soul has to pass, and why God leads men into it, it may be well to touch first upon certain peculiarities of beginners which, though treated in the briefest possible way, it is well for them to know that they may perceive the weakness of the state they are in, take courage, and desire to be led of God into this night where the soul is established in virtue and made strong for the inestimable delights of his love. Though I shall dwell at some length upon this point, I shall do so no longer than suffices for the immediate discussion of this dark night. We are to keep in mind that a soul, when seriously converted to the service of God, is, in general, spiritually nursed and caressed, as an infant by its loving mother, who warms it in her bosom, nourishes it with her own sweet milk, feeds it with tender and delicate food, carries it in her arms, and fondles it. But as the child grows up, the mother withholds her caresses, hides her breasts, and anoints them with the juice of bitter aloes. She carries the infant in her arms no longer, but makes it walk on the ground, so that, losing the habits of an infant, it may apply itself to greater and more substantial pursuits. The grace of God, like a loving mother, as soon as the soul is regenerated in the new fire and fervour of his service, treats it in the same way. For it enables it, without labour on its own part, to find its spiritual milk sweet and delicious in all the things of God, and in devotional exercises great sweetness. God giving it the breasts of his own tender love, as to a tender babe. Such souls, therefore, delight to spend many hours, and perhaps whole nights, in prayer. Their pleasures are penances, their joy is fasting, and their consolations lie in the use of the sacraments and in speaking of divine things. Now, spiritual men generally, speaking spiritually, are extremely weak and imperfect here, though they apply themselves to devotion and practice it with great resolution, earnestness, and care. For being drawn to these things, and to their spiritual exercises, by the comfort and satisfaction they find therein, and not yet confirmed in virtue by the struggle it demands, they fall into many errors and imperfections in their spiritual life. For every man's work corresponds to the habit of perfection which he has acquired. These souls, therefore, not having had time to acquire those habits of vigour, must, of necessity, perform their acts, like children, weakly. To make this more clear, and to show how weak are beginners in virtue and those good works which they perform with so much ease and pleasure, I proceed to explain by reference to the 7 capital sins, pointing out some of the imperfections into which beginners fall in the matter of each of them. This will show us plainly how like children they are in all they do, and also how great are the blessings of this dark night of which I am about to speak, seeing that it cleanses and purifies the soul from all these imperfections.